This morning, before we get into our main text, we need to take a look at another text. It's Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrew writer wrote, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." It will become very apparent the relevance of this passage as we go throughout our study this morning. But now we need to focus our attention on the reading that Brother Philip read us in just a moment ago. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46 and going through verse 52. The story is about blind Bartimaeus. As you're locating Mark chapter 10, it might also be noted that this same story is found in Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 to 34, and Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. And this story is a very unique story. It's unique in the sense that most of the people that Jesus healed remained anonymous. They remained unnamed. Consider, if you will, the gospel account of Mark. He speaks of a man with an unclean spirit, Mark chapter 1 and verse 23. He speaks of a leper, Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. He speaks of a paralytic or one that was sick of palsy, Mark chapter 2 and verse 3. He speaks of a woman being healed, Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. A Syrophoenician, Mark 7 verse 26. One who was deaf, Mark 7 verse 32. And even a blind man, Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. Yet in our text of Mark chapter 10, one is healed and named. In fact, one expositor, Jeff Thomas, says, "This is the only person healed by Jesus in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke whose actual name is recorded." And as best I can tell, he's right in that. There are at least two others who are identified but not named. There is Peter's mother-in-law, identified but not named. And there is Jairus' daughter, identified but not named. There's also Mary Magdalene, who is mentioned by Mark as having had demons cast out of her. But the Gospels do not give the when or the where or the why or the circumstances surrounding that healing, only that she was healed. John, which was written much later, names two others or three others that the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, do not. For example, all four Gospels mention the servant of the high priest who had his ear severed and restored. But only John is the one who records that that servant's name was Malchus and that Peter was the one who cut his ear off. John chapter 18, verse 10, as compared with Matthew chapter 26, verse 51, Mark chapter 14, verse 47, and Luke chapter 22, verses 50 and 51, that tell the same account, but neither name Peter nor Malchus. Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not mention at all the rising of one named Lazarus, perhaps Christ's greatest of miracles. Yet John does mention it. So Matthew and Mark do not identify by name anyone Jesus healed. And Mark only names two: Mary Magdalene, though no details of the healing are given. And then the case of our study this morning, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. And we don't know why this is the case. It may have been to spare the unnamed notoriety or unwanted publicity. It may have been to protect them from the anger and the retaliation of the Jews. It may have been to prevent them from becoming swelled up with pride. Whatever the reason, we're left asking the question, why is Bartimaeus an exception? Why are we giving all the details concerning his healing and he is named? As we will see here in just a little bit, it may be because of a statement made in Mark 10 and verse 52. He followed Jesus in the way. Sadly, not all of those that Jesus fed became followers of his. Not all of those that Jesus healed became true disciples. But Bartimaeus did, and therefore Bartimaeus leaves us a wonderful example. Notice in the text as we read through it that Mark answers not only the who question, but all of the journalists' five W's and an H. The who, the what, the when, the where, the why, and the how is all given to us. As we began to look at this text, Jesus was passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem less than 10 days before his crucifixion. On the way, he stopped to answer a beggar's prayer. Then he spoke the word and caused this blind man to see. The text is very short, only 7 verses in length, but this morning I want to observe with you 10 observations. We see in the healing of blind Bartimaeus that Bartimaeus was blind and poor. Look at verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. Bartimaeus was in darkness. He could not see the beauty of bird or bee or sky or sea. He could not see the sunset or a rainbow or a mother's smile. He could not see the ditch or the stumbling block that was in his path. And so he sat. He sat by the roadside. He was on the edge of the road. He was on the edge of the large crowd that was following Jesus. He was on the edge of society of that day. Many in the crowd on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover would have looked the other way as they passed by him. Surely some in the crowd wondered, who sinned, this man or his parents? You might recall that Jesus' disciples asked that very question concerning another blind man in John chapter 9 and verse 2. Bartimaeus was begging. He had nothing to give. He had nothing to sell, nothing to offer. He was hoping that someone would drop him 2 mites. Maybe 2 small fish, perhaps just share with him a cup of cold water. And so he sat by the road and he begged. Bartimaeus believed in Jesus as the Messiah. We find in verse number 47, when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene. Someone, possibly in the crowd, had identified the one they were following as being Christ, being the Messiah, being Jesus the Nazarene. But when Bartimaeus cried out, he cried out to Jesus, the Son of David, a messianic title. The Son of David was a common title of the expected Messiah in use throughout Israel in the time of Christ. It was by this statement that his confession of faith was made known, that Jesus was the promised Messiah, and Bartimaeus, for some reason, in some way, recognized the Christ as the Messiah. He knew that Christ was the one that could cure his condition. He knew that Christ was the answer to his blindness. And so Bartimaeus cried aloud to the Lord, and he cried out for mercy. We find at the end of verse 47, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. In his present condition, he was not of such that he could follow Jesus, lest he follow Jesus blindly. And so he sat and did the only thing he knew to do, and that was to cry and to beg aloud. He cried loudly above the roar of the noisy crowd. He cried promptly as though the Lord might never pass by his way again. And he cried repeatedly, bringing the attention of those around him. He knew Jesus did not owe him anything. He did not have a claim upon the Lord. He had no entitlement to sight or to healing. He did not demand his rights or call for justice. Rather, he begged for mercy. The first requirement for following Jesus is seeing the need for salvation. And Bartimaeus was blind, but yet he could see his need for Jesus. In verse 48, we find that Bartimaeus was determined. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He persisted in spite of the crowd's rebuke. Many sternly told him to be quiet. This was more than just a simple suggestion. They repeated the rebuke to him. Maybe it was because they were annoyed by his disturbing of the peace. Maybe they thought Jesus himself would be annoyed by the interruption from this street beggar. But more than likely, they were trying to get him to be quiet because they themselves were not willing to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah, to acknowledge the promised Son of David as Bartimaeus was doing. The more they tried to hush him, the more he shouted. And the flavor is captured more in the King James Version when it states, "He cried the more a great deal." Meaning that the more they tried to hush him, the more he cried, and the louder he cried out to Jesus. But then the moment came, and Bartimaeus heard the call of Jesus. Verse 49, "And Jesus stopped and called and said, 'Call him here.' So they called the blind man and said to him, 'Take courage, stand up. He is calling for you.'" Jesus was more gracious than those around him. Jesus was more gracious than those around Bartimaeus. He stopped, the text says. Literally, he stood still and commanded his disciples to call the blind man. Those around the blind man said, "Take courage, stand up, he is calling for you." And as we peek into verse 50, it would not take them telling him more than once for him to obey. Bartimaeus, verse 50, answered Jesus' call. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Bartimaeus cast aside all hindrances. He cast away his garment. He threw his cloak aside and he jumped up. We might say that he jumped at the chance to obey Jesus. Therefore, we find in verse 51, Bartimaeus asked for healing. Verse 51 of our text, "And answering him, Jesus said, 'What do you want from me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, I want to regain my sight.'" Notice that he addressed Jesus as Rabboni. Scholars tell us that there are three titles used by the Jews to honor their teachers. There's the term Rab, meaning master. It's the lowest degree of honor for a teacher. There's Rabbi, my master, that is of a higher dignity. But then there is Rabboni, my greatest master, the most honorable of all distinctions of teachers. It was this last title that Bartimaeus used in addressing Jesus. Only one other person addressed Jesus this way in the Gospels. It's found in John chapter 20 and verse 16, and it is the words of Mary Magdalene. Bartimaeus addressed Jesus as Rabboni, and he asked for what he wanted. He didn't ask Jesus for money. He didn't ask Jesus for all the frivolous things in this life. Rather, he came seeking and asking for the one thing he so deeply desired and needed, his sight. He asked for his sight. May he have asked for his sight so that he might follow Jesus. Verse number 52, we find that Bartimaeus was healed and saved. And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Asking, he received. Jesus' gift was not a bribe, nor was it a transaction. The Lord did not say, "If you will follow me, then I will heal you." No, Bartimaeus asked for mercy and healing, and he received grace. Someone, I don't know who, credit to whom credit is due, has defined mercy as not getting the punishment we deserve, and grace as getting the blessing we do not deserve. Bartimaeus did not deserve it. He did not deserve the grace. He asked for mercy, but he received grace. Because of the Lord's grace shown to Bartimaeus, he passed that day from darkness and blindness to light, to seeing. Jesus told him, "Go, your faith has made you well." The word "well," rendered whole in other translations, can indicate both healing and salvation. It's possible that the Lord did both, since during His earthly ministry, He could both save and heal according to His will. As He stated in Luke chapter 7 and verse 50, and Luke chapter 23 verses 42 and 43. This miracle of healing reflects the compassion of our Lord, as was the case in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34. The same account found in Matthew. Then the recording says, immediately the man regained his sight. Immediately he regained his sight. What was a man to do after regaining his sight? What was Bartimaeus to do? Verse 52 reveals that he began to follow Jesus on the road. Verse 52, "And Jesus said to him, 'Go, your faith has made you well.' Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road." Now, some commentators say that Mark had a double reference here, that Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the road, literally following his steps, and that he also became a follower of Jesus. He became a disciple of Jesus. Could this possibly account for why, of all the people Jesus healed, Bartimaeus alone is named by Matthew, Mark, or Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, as well as all the details surrounding the healing are given? Luke has that the man began following Jesus, and he adds in his account, "and glorifying God." Luke 18, verse 43. When we choose to follow Jesus Christ and we begin that path to follow Him, we indeed glorify God. Luke also mentions in Luke 18, verse 43, that when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. When people around us see that we choose to follow Jesus, and that we are striving every day to walk in His path, to walk in His footsteps, they too will give praise to God. What should we see in ourselves and in Jesus from this story? We should first see that the whole world lies in darkness. Bartimaeus was blind and poor. But spiritual blindness is far worse. For to the spiritually blind, the Bible is a dull book. Worship is uninteresting. The heavens are meaningless and God is unreal. Bartimaeus knew that he was blind. Yet there are those who are spiritually blind, those who are spiritually by the wayside and do not even know it. The church at Laodicea became lukewarm. They gloried in their possession, saying, "I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing." Revelation 3 and verse 7. The spiritually blind say they are in need of nothing. But the Lord said of the church at Laodicea that He saw in them, "You do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Revelation 3 and verse 17. We may think of ourselves as having great power and many possessions, though through spiritual glasses we may really be poor and wretched and blind. Another observance that we should make of ourselves and of Jesus in this story is that Jesus came into the world to call sinners out of darkness and into His marvelous light. It's approved by several passages. We throw out a few here. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14. Acts chapter 26 verses 15 through 18. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 11 verses 28 to 30. Jesus is calling sinners out of darkness. When the gospel is preached, Jesus is calling. The crowd would keep us from Jesus. The crowd does not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. The crowd does not recognize Jesus as the Savior of the world. The crowd does not recognize Him as Lord. The crowd doesn't recognize Jesus as Rabboni, my master teacher. The crowd does not even want to hear His name spoken at times, nor do they want to listen to His call. Therefore, we must seek the Lord while He is near. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Bartimaeus had the chance. He had the opportunity to obey Jesus. And he jumped at the chance. He took the opportunity. Question for those who have not yet obeyed Christ today is, will you jump at the chance to obey Him? We should also consider, what should we see as our duty to those who are by the wayside? We see that Jesus showed mercy. He also commends mercy and commands mercy. Jesus showed mercy in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Jesus commended mercy in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. He said, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." It's a commendable thing to forgive others. And it brings us in view of God's forgiveness as well. Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 to 34, Jesus commanded mercy. He told the story about a king who had some slaves that owed him money, and he decided he wanted to settle those accounts. And so the king called the slaves before him, and one of them could not pay. So he forgave that slave of his debt. But then that slave decided that he wanted to go and settle his accounts with some who owed him money. And there were those who were not able to pay it. And this slave yet was unwilling to forgive the debt. Thus he had the man brought and thrown into prison until the debt was all paid. Some of those who heard all of this and witnessed it came and brought news to the king of what had happened. And so the king summoned that slave back and he handed the slave over to the torturers. Jesus ended that story with this command for mercy: "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each one does not forgive his brother from his heart." Bartimaeus was on the roadside when Jesus called him. And Jesus is still calling those who are on the wayside. In Luke chapter 14, verse 23, the instruction came, "Go into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled." He continues to call those who are by the wayside. Jesus calls them by the command of His disciples to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized will be saved, but he who has disbelieved will be condemned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Jesus is calling. He is calling sinners out of darkness and into His marvelous light. He's calling those who are by the wayside to come to Him. The story of blind Bartimaeus is not just a story about a man who was blind and healed by Jesus. The story of blind Bartimaeus is an example of how men are saved from sin. He was poor, he was blind, but he wanted to be delivered from darkness. He believed in Jesus as the Savior. He cried out for mercy. He persisted in spite of the rebukes of many. And when it came time to respond, he cast aside all hindrances. He heard the call of Jesus, and he obeyed that call. He confessed the name of Jesus, and he was healed from blindness. He was saved from darkness, and he followed Jesus and glorified God. In our own salvation, we must arrive at the point at which we determine that we are in darkness when we are in sin. And being in sin, Jesus is our only answer. Therefore, we must believe that Jesus is the Savior, that Jesus is the answer for our sin problem. And since we cannot take care of that sin alone, we must cry out to the Lord for mercy. Yes, there will be those who rebuke us. There will be those who do not want us to be followers of Jesus Christ. There will be those who tell us no. Yet we must be persistent in spite of those who rebuke us. We must cast aside all hindrances. Maybe there's something that's hindering you from being obedient to the will of God this morning. Maybe it's your own self telling yourself that I have time. Maybe it's you yourself saying, I could never do that. My mother, my father would turn over in their grave to know that I was a member of that church because of my obedience to Christ. Whatever the hindrance is, cast it aside. Hear the call of Jesus. Obey the call of the Lord. Confess His name and be saved. Saved from darkness, the darkness of sin. Be saved from blindness, spiritual blindness caused because of sin. And follow Jesus. And glorify the name of God. One other passage we need to look at very quickly, and the lesson will be yours, awaiting your response. It's Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It's the one we began with, and the relevance of it, I said, would soon be apparent. Maybe you've already caught on. If not, let's look at it together. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance. What cloak do you need to lay aside? What encumbrance? What hindrance do you need to lay aside this morning? And the sin which so easily entangles us. Sin will tell you you're okay. Sin will tell you everything's all right. Sin will tell you you have time. Sin will tell you the Lord's return is not coming. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run to Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus. the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you recognize who is at the right hand of the throne of God? Do you recognize that our Lord and our Savior is seated there? And he's calling all. He's calling all who will come to him. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. Consider what Jesus Christ went through because of me, because of you. Consider what he faced. And he did it for us. So that you will not grow weary or lose heart. Do you want to be saved? Do you believe in Jesus? Will you let Him help you turn from your sins? Are you willing to confess His name before men? If you've answered yes to all of these questions, there's one thing that remains, and that is the carrying out of Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name. This morning, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation to come to Him, you have a great example in blind Bartimaeus of what it takes in humbleness of heart and spirit to come to the Lord seeking mercy and finding grace, thereby to be forgiven of your sins through obedient faith. When you submit to the will of God in baptism, thus you can follow Jesus and glorify God. If it is your desire this morning, we'll do all we can to aid and assist you if you will come as we stand and as we sing.